Siyata Dishmai, we're going to be learning about the parasha. We have a double parasha, double portion this week. Matot Masae. Matot talks about mainly about speech, right? About the idea of keeping your word, which is extremely important. Lofty, lofty things can be said about it. Also about the finding Bilam and the killing of Bilam. So a lot that goes on in the parasha, in the first parasha. But today, Bezat Hashem, we're going to be focusing on the second half of the parasha, meaning the second parasha in this week's parasha, which is Mas'e, the traveling and the journeys of Am Yisrael. It's known that the people of Israel went on 42 journeys in the desert, right? From Egypt until they got to the land of Israel, there was 42 stops, 42 journeys that they went on. Classically, we know the Baal Shem Tov says that all of the journeys of the Torah are a hint to the journeys that man will go through in life. For example, one of the places was called Kivot HaTa'ava. Right? Kivot HaTa'ava, what's Kivot HaTa'ava? That's the grave of the lusts. Some people get buried in their lusts, and some people were able to bury their lusts, right? With Kivot HaTa'ava, that's a hint also in a person's life. When we're going on our journey, there's certain places where either we get buried in our lusts, or we're able to bury our lusts. There's a place called Refidim. Refui in Hebrew means soft, right? And we had to fight Amalek in Refidim. Meaning we had to fight our doubts when we had a soft mind, we had a soft consciousness, when we weren't so strong in fighting to keep our emunah and to fight and do Avodat Hashem. All of these different places have hints and names that are hints into our life. Bezat Hashem, every week we learn the parasha according to the teachings of Rabbi Natan of Breslev, and there's no difference this week. We're still going to do that, but we're also going to bring other Torahs to strengthen these ideas as well. So, Bezat Hashem, let's see what Rabbi Natan has to say. Ele Mas'ei B'nei Yisrael. It says in the Midrash that the journeys of the people of Israel, meaning the fact that the Jewish people went from place to place, Hem Mechaprim Al Ele O Alecha Elohecha Yisrael. All the journeys that we do are a kapara, are an atonement for when we said, this is your God, Israel, with the golden calf. When we had a golden calf and we danced around it and we said, this is your God, the fact that Hashem afterwards made us travel from place to place and journey to journey in these 42 journeys, that was part of the kapara, that was part of the atonement for that. Meaning, by way of our blemish of Avodah Zarah, because even when there isn't Avodah Zarah, there's still the blemish of the Avodah Zarah, right? A person doesn't have to be sinning right now in order to have a negative outcome of a sin. Meaning, a person did a sin, at that moment he was doing the wrong thing. That was the wrong thing to do a sin, to do Avodah Zarah. But then they stopped, and they went back to being normal, to keeping Torah, to living life. But they still have a blemish of Avodah Zarah. There's still that outcome, the negative outcome of their actions. Because it ruins your emunah, right? Person goes and watches something, it goes inside their head, it affects your emunah. It takes time to take that thing out of your head, right? To brainwash yourself positively. It takes time. We all grew up thinking a certain way. The more we grow in Torah and we learn new things, we have to adjust that. And we have to get to new levels of understanding. Meaning we have to take out the junk that was in our head, and we have to put in the right thing there. The Baal Shem Tov talks about this as well. V'savtem v'avadetem Elohim achirim. You went off the path and you started to serve other gods. What does it mean? V'sarten v'avadetem. The second you are sar, meaning the second you move away, all of a sudden you want to serve other gods. It's quick. You move away from Hashem, so then something you have to believe in something. So you start to believe in your job, start to believe in money, start to believe in the government, the military, whatever it is. That person, your wife, this, that idea. As soon as you move from Hashem, you're going to have to believe in something. So you start to do Avodah Zarah immediately. And by way of all of the traveling and all the journey and the life that in life Hashem sends you from this place to that place, and from you have to go do that thing and establish that place over there, and all these things that we have to do in life, all these journeys and all these stations along our journey, is all an atonement for our sins. As long as there is idol worship in the world, there will be flaring nostrils in the world. What's flaring nostrils? Whenever the Torah talks about the anger, so to say, of Hashem, says the nostrils are flaring, right? Charon af. Whenever the Torah wants to talk about rachamim and mercy and patience, it's called erech hapaim, the long nose, the long nose, right? Why? A long exhale. That's patience. But rage is, right, a short nose, a flaming nose. So this aspect, not that God has a nose, God forbid, God has no body, no physicality. These are all just the ways that the Torah brings us messages for us to understand what's going on. And we have a cloud, we have a rule. As long as there's idol worship in the world, there will be flaring nostrils, meaning there will be deen, there will be judgments, there will be hardships in the world. So we see that when we atone for the sin of Avodah Zarah, like we do by way of our journeys, then we remove all of the chaunaf, we remove all of the judgments that are coming down. And then what happens, if, so to say, Hashem is no longer hyperventilating in rage, right, so to say, again, obviously Hashem doesn't do this, as long as there's no deen, so then how would the breath go back to be? Erech HaPaim, mercy. The immediate outcome of removing Avodah Zarah from this world and bringing people back to Hashem is that Charon Af leaves the world, anger leaves the world, rage leaves the world, and mercy comes down in its place. And the main aspect of mercy is Ve'el Shaddai Yiten Lachem Rachamim. Hashem will give you Rachamim. Lachem, Daika. He will give you specifically. You have to understand this. Hashem Yitbarach, He gives us mercy. Everything from Hashem is mercy. But we want, Rabbi Nachman teaches, that the mercy should be given to us in our hands. כי אצלו יתברך יכול להיות שגם החולאות, הקשה וכל היסויים הם הרחמנות שלו. It could be that for Hashem, the sicknesses that we go through in this world, and the poverty that we experience in this world, and all of the calamities that we experience in the world, for Hashem that might be mercy. Meaning His intention, why all of that is happening, is the ultimate mercy. For sure, whatever Hashem does to a person, even the worst hardships in the world, it's only His mercy. But we have a request from Hashem. Sheiten v'imsor arachmanut b'yadenu. Give us the mercy into our hands, meaning into our grasp, into a way that we understand it. We don't understand your mercy, Hashem. We don't know how a Holocaust could be considered mercy. In this world, it doesn't make sense. I can, from far, start to think of ways that where you can explain to me to be merciful. Face value, putting Jews inside gas chambers is not merciful. On this world, it doesn't make sense. It's not in my hands to grasp how that's merciful. Rabbi Nachman is teaching us that our tefillah should be that Hashem puts His mercy in our hands. We can't even receive Hashem's mercy sometimes. We just want Hashem to put it in our hands. That us, ba'atzmenu nerachem aleinu, that me, myself, I'll have mercy on myself. That's what it means, put the mercy in my hands. And for us, mercy is simple. What's mercy? To get healed from sickness. To get out of debt. For us, it's simple. It's clear what mercy means in this world. And this is what it means, Israel. What's Israel? Israel is Rashi Tevot, it's an acronym. El Shaddai Yiten Lachem Rachamim. Because Rachamim is done by way of the journeys of Israel. Every time, just let's think about it in the level of the psyche, right? Imagine you get out of Egypt and now you're traveling in the desert. And God wants to make you into a person, into a nation that's filled with mercy. So now every time you rest, you have to set up camp. And every time you have to travel, you have to pack it all up and travel. Set up. Take care. Pack it. You're being put in a situation where now you have to set up all the animals, make sure you feed the animals, make sure they have a place, make sure the children have a place, make sure you have it, and everything's taken care of. Then when you set up your tents, make sure your neighbor has enough space, and then you unpack it, and make sure you do it all right, and everybody's helping. And there's a lot of mercy, a lot of opportunities for mercy. Again, every journey was just, okay, from here to there, from here to there. And also Hashem had mercy on them. They were covered with clouds of glory, right? Everything that was a hill in front of them got made flat. Snakes and scorpions were removed from the path. Amalek was pushed on the outside of the cloud. They were living in a cloud of mercy. They were going through a whole entire process of mercy. And we wanted to get it on a level that we understand and we can bring it down here. Another idea that we have inside the parasha that I'm going to focus on as well. Go ahead.
Could you say that moving around through the desert and wandering the desert for 40 years was to teach us mercy and to teach us how to have erupaim and breathe out with their nose with like a longer?
For sure.
Okay, is that?
Yeah.
I was trying.
Simply put, that teaching was coming to tell us that in life you have journeys. Those journeys will help you to clean up your Avodah Zarah. We all do Avodah Zarah. We all believe in money. We all believe in different things. We all believe in our own abilities. We all believe in that person just needs to help me, this, that, and the other. We all do Avodah Zarah all the time. One of the ways Hashem helps us to clean up that sin of Avodah Zarah and the blemishes and the effects that it put in our brain and to help purify our emunah is by sending us around this world on crazy journeys, right? And only sometimes when you go through a journey and you travel and you go to different places, you realize how much mercy Hashem has on you and that everything's okay exactly where you are. And sometimes you don't need to travel around, right? And all the hardships and all the traveling is also mercy. That's the message. Another thing that comes up in the parasha is that we have what's called the Arei Miklat. We have six cities which comes out to 42 as well, cities of refuge, so to say. The pasuk in the Torah says in Parashat Maaseh in the 35th chapter in the 6th verse, Ve'et he'arim asher titnu la'levi'im et Shesh arei miklat asher titnu lanus shama harotzeach va'alem titnu 42 ir. There's six cities of refuge that whoever murders a person by accident has the ability to run there. What was the situation? How do you murder a person by accident? Essentially what's called manslaughter nowadays, right? Person was speeding. They didn't intend to speed. Or not even that. That maybe you could already say that's not responsible if a person's speeding, right? Let's use the Gemara's example. Person's going to chop wood in the forest, and the head of their axe falls off or flies off of the axe and kills a person. Did he intend to do that? Not at all. Was it a weapon? Not at all. Was it a complete accident? Yes. So then what, does he deserve to die? No. But, yes, meaning the Torah comes and says, the fact that you accidentally killed someone, correct. The fact that you accidentally killed someone is not random. In previous lives, you also did this, or you're on the other side of it. And now, the reality is that the Torah allows the relatives, the immediate relatives of the person that was killed, to come avenge his death, and they have the ability to kill now that killer. Unless the Torah gives him the opportunity to run away to one of the cities of refuge. Those were cities spread out across the land of Israel that were also home to Levi'im and Kohanim, meaning extremely holy people that, right, Levi's and Kohen's work inside the temple. But there's thousands of Levi'im and Kohanim and there's not enough space in the temple. So they would work in shifts and these shifts would change off. And Levi'im and Kohanim do not receive any allotment of land in the land of Israel. Meaning they don't have any place that there's their own city to build their own houses. So these cities, so to say, would host them, and they had houses there, and they sit there, and they would go there. And if a person made a mistake, a grave mistake, like killing a person by accident, they had to go and sit in that city. And as long as they were in that city, surrounded by Kohanim and Levim, meaning surrounded by good influences, they had to stay there until either the Kohen Gadol died, or the people that are coming after them don't want to come after them, or they died. And then they could leave. If the Kohen Gadol died, the decree on them was over. People, no one was able to touch them anymore. They couldn't redeem the blood, and they can go back into society. Tzfat was one of those cities. Tzfat was one of those cities of refuge for the people that murder by accident. Right? And it still is one of those cities for people that murder by accident. In our generation, what does it mean to murder by accident? A person does something that can affect their emunah, that can harm them, that can take them away from Hashem, that can cause them to so to say, kill themselves, to be a dead man walking, while they're still alive, walking through this world, but the Torah is not alive for them. Tefillah doesn't mean anything for them. They don't have motivation. Might as well, it's like, you don't have life. What should a person do in that situation? They need to run to the six cities. The six cities, this is brought in Sefer, if I'm not mistaken, Sefer Charedim, but I learned it from Rav Yitzchak Ginsburg. We talked about it a few weeks ago with Rav Trugman when he was here. There's a meditation that is brought down of how to run to the six cities even nowadays. Meaning, if a person, again, blemishes themselves, so to say, kills themselves off, embarrasses themselves, does a sin that detaches the vitality that they need so much, you can run in your mind to the six cities. What are the six cities? Six constant mitzvot that a person can do at any time just by way of their mind. And if you run to those places, you'll find refuge and you can renew your emunah. And how do you do that practically? Close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and you can imagine six different mitzvot with your mind. Above you is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God that took you out of Egypt. Below you is Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim Al Panai, you should not have any other gods instead of me. Meaning don't have idols and don't believe in anything else. That's below you, right? Because it's below you to believe in anything else besides God. And then you can look forward. Looking forward is the idea of Shiviti Hashem Lenigdi Tamid. I shall place Hashem in front of me at all times. Meaning I know that Hashem is everywhere in the world. And I'm always conscious of Hashem. And Hashem is always with me no matter what I'm going through. In the good, the bad, and the ugly. In the beautiful lights of Torah learning. And in all the distractions that could come with it as well. In having connection in tefillah. And in also not having that. In business and taking garbage out. Everything Hashem is there. This is the secret of Shiviti Hashem Lenigdi Tamid, like the Ramah teaches us in the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah, in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. And you look behind you, that is the mitzvah of Atatu Achile Bevchem V'Acheinechem. Don't go after your eyes and your heart. To the right of you is the love of Hashem, and to the left of you is the awe of Hashem. Whenever a person feels a disconnect and they feel detached, they're able to close their eyes and to go to these six cities. And you can imagine it like a cube, right? A face of a cube on each side, like you're forming a dice around you, and you're in a die around you, and you're in the middle. And each face of the die is a different mitzvah. And sitting in that cube, sitting in that city of refuge, the six cities of refuge for a while, can help a person reconnect their emunah. So can coming to Tzfat. Coming to Tzfat can also do that. Come here for a little bit, breathe, think about these six mitzvot more while you're here, and you can get purified. Zat Hashem. Let's see what Rabbi Natan has to say about this idea of six arei miklat. 48 tevot sheyesh beparashat Shema Yisrael. There's 48 words in Shema Yisrael, and that's the secret of emunah. Ha'emunah, because there's 48 cities of Kohanim and Levi'im. There's six cities of refuge. in correspondence to the six words in Shema Yisrael, right? Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. That's six. And then there's 48 words in the first paragraph. And on those six, right, on the six of Shema Yisrael is 42 ir, 42 cities, which is in correspondence to the 42 words from Ve'ahavta until the end of the parasha. Right? The Shema is the first pasuk, Baruch Shem, right? And then three paragraphs, three parashiot. The first parasha, from the word Ve'ahavta until the end of it, has 42 words in it. And these 48 cities, right, again, 48 is the 42 words plus the six words. Six words of Shema, which is the six cities of refuge, and the 48, the other 42 cities, together includes 48. So these 48 cities, koltot u'matzilot misita demota, they absorb and save people from the side of death. Therefore, a person who murders or kills by accident has to run there. Ki emunah ikar ha'chaim. Emunah is the main facet of life, the main aspect of life. And kfirut desita demota. Kfirut, heresy, not believing in Hashem, not having emunah, that's from the side of death. Ve'al ken 48 ha'rei ha'levi'im shem b'chilat shema ve'ahavta. Therefore, these 48 cities of Levi'im, of Kohanim, they are the aspect of Shema and Ve'ahavta. Shem Ikaram Shechat Emunah is the main way you bring down Emunah. Therefore, they're able to absorb and protect. Absorb meaning help you, to absorb you and save you as a place of refuge, and protect you from the side of death. And they save the person that killed by accident from death. In these 48 cities that the Kohanim and the Levi'im used to live in, that's specifically exactly where the Torah wanted a person to travel to. Go to the Tzadikim, and go to those that help them, right? Levi comes the word from escort, Levi'im, right? They're escorters. Who are they escorting? The Kohanim, right? The Torah says, you made such a grave mistake of killing a person? Where do you need to go now? Where should a person that kills by accident go? To jail? To prison? To have his life ruined now even more? Or maybe to go to yeshiva? Maybe to go be surrounded by people that are called tzaddikim and all of those that are around them helping them. Go to a good city like Tzfat, where you're going to be surrounded by positive energies when you're lacking emunah and when you're doing things that are not correct. That's what the Torah says. The main thing, why? Because again, the main thing of life is emunah. The main thing in life is to increase our emunah. And the main way to increase your emunah is to be saved from anything that comes from the side of death. Anything related to the other side is only going to blemish your emunah. So you need to be saved from that. Your side of death means you killed something, a person killed someone by accident, so now all of their relatives can come after you. So it's all of that's going to come now from the side of death. It's all because of that death. Ki ikar emunah b'shlemut mekablim rak al yedei tzadikim amitiim v'anilvim mehem. How do you get the main aspects of emunah? How do you get complete emunah that you don't fall? Only from the tzaddikim and the people that are around them. Shem b'chinat ha'kohanim and levi'im. These are the kohanim, tzaddikim, and the levi'im, those that escort them and help them, aka the students of the tzaddikim. Right? Everything that comes with the tzaddik. Because a kohen is the aspect of the tzaddik, v'arav, v'emet. He's a, right? A tzaddik, he's a rav, he's emet. Like the rabbi said, v'siftei kohen. Im harav dome la'malach, if the rabbi is similar to an angel, right? All these different things. And the levi'im, they're the aspect of connection. Right? V'nilvu elecha v'sharetucha. They will escort you and they will serve you. And whoever messed up and killed where he killed, and now he wants to have mercy on his own soul and his own life to save himself from death and from the side of death and from eternal death, he has to run away and to go to those cities. You have to go to a city, meaning you have to go to a place. City also has a connotation of the word litorer, to arouse, ir. Right? You have to go to a place of arousal where it's filled with Kohanim and Tzadikim and Leviim. And that's specifically where you're going to get saved from all the bad. Therefore, you can run to these places and you get saved in these 48 cities. You get saved from the side of death, Bezat Hashem. That's the goal. One more idea on this parasha, Bezat Hashem. We have Shesh Are Miklat Tien Alechem. We shall have six different cities of refuge. Shalom Aleichem. Here, you just moved to Tzfat?
Yes.
Here's the Torah from Tzfat. You walked in right at the right time. We're learning on the parasha, and this is an idea on Tzfat. It says, Shesh Are Miklat Tien Alechem. You shall have six different cities of refuge. Katav Amekubal Arav Avraham Azulai. You heard of Avraham Azulai? The Chesed LaAvraham.
Oh.
Chesed LaAvraham, whoever's heard maybe of the Chida. Chida is my Rebbe in Shemaim. It's my spiritual root, the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. You are?
No.
The Chida is. The Chida was 200 and a bit years ago. He was a student of the Rashash. He was friends with the Torah Chacham. And the Chida, his great-great-grandfather, seven generations, was a student of the Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital here in Tzfat. His name was Avram Azulai, Rabbi Avram Azulai, and he wrote a book called Chesed LaAvraham. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. And Rav Meir Eliyahu, we're learning now in Mekrivot HaGaman, Rav Meir Eliyahu brings in his book on this week's parasha, this Inyan. And he says that he writes there, Tzfat Romezet L'Sfirat HaNetzach. Tzfat is a hint to the sphere of Netzach. Netzach, again, is perseverance, is pushing forward, unbreakable spirit, it's emuna. It's supporting of Torah, right? It's the negative side of Netzach, is foolishness, is messing around, making a joke of everything. We all know that energy here in Tzfat as well, if people fall down to there, right? Nothing makes sense, nothing's worth it. Just sit back like a clown. We all know that side's also here in the city, right? On the other side, if you're perseverant and you make sure and you have principles and you don't stop and you set time to learn and you do what you have to do, that's also lenatzeach, to overcome your yetzara. That side's also here in the city. Right? A person can come into Tzfat if they want to be menatzeach. You can write a Shulchan Aruch, you can write down all of Etz Chaim, you can bring down all the deepest stories in the world. And if you come to Tzfat and you don't want to be menatzeach, so it's still a city of netzach, the other side will happen as well, which is batala, sitting on it, doing nothing. So Tzfat has a side of netzach. Netzach in small gematria comes out to 22. Like Tzfat with the Kolel, Tzfat is 21. If you add the word itself, you get 22. So Netzach and Tzfat equal the same gematria ketana. Tzfat is 21, which is Cheshbon Ekyeh. Ehyeh, right, is I will be. It's the name of Tshuva, it's the name of yearning, it's the name of trying to be better. Why is Tzfat 21, which is the gematria Ekyeh, says the Chesed Avraham? לרמוז שהמתנהגים עם מי שדר בה ביוד ג' מידות של רחמים גמורים משם כתר. Why is Tzfat equal 21, which equals Ekye? Because Ekye is a name connected to Keter, to show you that whoever lives in the city of Tzfat, from Shemayim they act and treat you with the mindset of the 13 midot of rachamim from the name Keter all year long. What we say in the world, המלך בשדה אין אלו, right? The king is in the field, it's much easier to connect. That is the reality of Tzfat 24-7, 365. Yud Gimel Midot of Rachamim from Keter. Right? Anybody wants to learn more about those 13 attributes of mercy? Read Tomer Dvorah, right? It was just the Ramaxi Lula. Highly recommended. Therefore, one of the cities that saves souls is Tzfat Ir HaKodesh. Something long?
No, I want to ask you something. Yeah. Did he, the Chizkar Rom, live in Tzfat?
Yes.
Here.
No,
he's buried here?
The Chesed Avraham? No, he's not buried in Tzfat. He's in Hebron. Buried in Hebron. V'gam Tzfat, Mispar Katan, Kaf Aleph im HaKolel, Lulim Mispar Kaf Bet. Right? We said Tzfat is 21 in Gematria Ketana. With the Kolel is 22. What else is 22? Cheshbon Kaf Bet, Otiyot HaTorah. The 22 letters of the Torah. To show you, what's another hint? Why is Tzfat Gematria 22? שצפת מוכנת ומזומנת להשיג בה סוד עומקה של תורה. Tzfat is a place prepared and inviting everybody to come get the deeper secrets of the Torah. Ve'en avir zach bechol eretz Yisrael ke'avira shel Tzfat. There is no pure air in the whole entire land of Israel like the air of Tzfat. Right? The air of the land of Israel makes a person wiser. And the best air you have in the land of Israel is in Tzfat, which is also a city that's able to give you Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim and bring you to the deepest depths of the Torah. So what can a breath in Tzfat do? What can 45 minutes of breath work in Tzfat do for a person? V'chol adar be'ir Tzfat yesh lo yiteron al kol shar arei Eretz Yisrael. Whoever lives in the city of Tzfat has a benefit over all of the other cities and people dwelling in the land of Israel. Why? Shaniftar shama, whoever dies in the city of Tzfat, meaning you lived your whole entire life and you come to get buried in Tzfat Yer HaKodesh, ba'avur shu makom gavua ve'aviro zach yoter, since Tzfat is such a high city, pun intended as well, right? Tzfat is such a lofty place, and the air is so pure, and more than any other city in the land of Israel, b'mehera nafsho shata v'porachet b'ma'arat ha'machpela la'avor legan eden ha'tachton. A person that dies in Tzfat, because it's such a lofty place, their soul immediately sends up out of their body and flies into Gan Eden HaTachton in Hebron. Tzfat Yer HaKodesh. This is the Chesed Avraham. Just so we can appreciate a little bit more where we're sitting in, and people across the world can appreciate more to connect to this place and to download from the messages that come out of here. Just to drill this in a little bit more. The whole world does Lecha Dodi, Kabbalat Shabbat. Those are things that came out of Tzfat. Right? All of the Kabbalah, it's on the parasha. No, everything I just said is from the Chesed Avraham. It's in Mayan Gimel, Nahar Yud Gimel. Everything I just said is from there, up until what I'm about to say. Right? Tzfat is a city that gave the world Lecha Dodi, that gave the world Kabbalah, that gave the world Shulchan Aruch, that gave the world so many different things that people don't understand in our generation. Thank you Hashem movement. The whole Thank you Hashem movement, right? That's doing huge kiruv. Start here in this, the people that come to this Beit Midrash every day, right? The Baruch Hashem Nigun of Zusha and Pompadisa. Baruch Hashem, Baruch, out of here. Machshavot Tovot, out of here. This city is non-stop changing the world and making good waves in this place, in the whole entire world. How many people are coming to tap in? How many people are coming to really... How many people know that if they came to Tzfat for a week, they could leave a changed person?
It's not much.
Because it's a city that's been quite hidden, right? Quite hidden. And this is the message that we want to get back. We want people to know that not only is Tzfat here, but the same energy that they were pulling down 500 years ago still exists here. Still exists here. People come here for a few hours, a few days, and they have inspiration. They leave different. They leave on fire. Yes, anybody can get back inside the rat race and the fire goes away, right? But if you went to a certain place and you left with inspiration, what does that say about the place? And maybe if you connected there, maybe you should invest in connecting more there or having more of a connection there. I'm going to keep talking about Tzfat because it's just this book that brings... This is just a book of a bunch of different collections of teachings on the Parashiyot from Rav Meir Eliyahu. Rav Meir Eliyahu is an amazing rabbi in Yerushalayim. He's alive in our generation. Sfardi Chacham, Iraqi, Arizal. And he's now, in this parasha, going to open up on Tzfat. Let's learn just to download and be able to understand a little bit more what's going on. Yisrael, you want to come sit next to me, Ron? There you go. Hashem. ועל פי זה אמרתי לרמוז במה שאמרו הרוצה להשאיר יצפין. Chazal says, whoever wants to get rich, turn to the north when you're praying. Right? And if you want to get wise, turn to the south while you're praying. So whoever wants to get rich, what, Jews, we care about money that much?
So what,
if you listen, you hear this, exactly what I'm saying. We care about money that much. Right? If not, we would stay in Monroe, we would stay in Munster, stay in L.A. But if we wanted money, we would stay in America.
I thought we're supposed to look at Jerusalem.
Correct. As everybody needs to face Jerusalem. And if, while facing Jerusalem, you need Parnassa, turn your body to the north. while still facing Jerusalem. And if you need intelligence, turn to the north, to the south, while still facing Jerusalem. Yes, we pray towards Jerusalem, and the Gemara still says, if you need these two things, you can tilt your body and look at it different ways.
If you're in the south of Jerusalem, then it's the opposite.
We look in Jerusalem. So as we look at Jerusalem, we pray towards Jerusalem, no matter where you are.
In the south, you're facing north when you're facing Jerusalem.
Correct. And then if you want to be rich, you get it by doing both, right? Let's not get stuck on the halacha, because it's not a halacha shir. There's a mitziyut where, while you're praying, you're allowed to turn to the north or to the south. And the outcome is wealth or knowledge. With that understood, whoever wants to be rich, whoever wants lashir, whoever wants wealth in his understanding of how the world works and the wisdom that comes out of Chochmah and Torah, Yatzpin should go north. What does that mean? Go live in Tzfat, which is a city that is inviting you to come to the deepest aspects of the Torah. And he writes here, his friend, Arav HaGaon, Rabbi Benaya Shmueli, Neo Yair Shlita, this is an amazing Rebbe in Yerushalayim, Banam Shel Kedoshim, he is the head Rosh Yeshiva of Nar Shalom, which is the Yeshiva of Rav Mordechai Sharabi, Yeshiva of Mekubalim in Jerusalem, and Rav Shmueli right now, he's going to quote him, teaching this over, really, it comes from the Arizal, but he brings it here from Rabbi Benaya Shmueli. It says in Tehillim, we say this every morning, Tehillim Kuf Lamid Gimel. That's Kuf Lamid Bet in the 13th verse. Ki bachar Adonai Betzion Iva Lemoshavlo. Hashem chose Zion, desired it as a dwelling place. The Arizal says, if you take the word bachar, chose, Hashem chose Zion, and you switch the letters around, you get the word charev, destroyed. And the word iva, to desire, from the word ta'ava, right? Hashem desired Zion as a dwelling place. If you take iva and you flip it in adbash, where aleph becomes taf, bet becomes shin, so iva becomes tzfat. Moshav lo is a dwelling place. What's moshav? Kisei HaKavod. It's the throne of glory. All of the Chachamim tell us that the Kisei HaKavod is above Tzfat. So the Arizal says, now how do you read the Pasuk? Not to change the Pasuk, but how do you understand the Pasuk? Ki charev Hashem b'tzion. When Hashem destroyed Zion, Tzfat moshav lo. Tzfat became the dwelling place. Not forever. Until the Geulah, until we build back up Jerusalem, the Shekhinah had a place that needed to dwell. Hashem desired for it to be in Tzfat. So that's not a pele while you walk in Tzfat and you feel like you're in the Beit HaMikdash sometimes. You feel these lights coming down that are not, what's going on here? What's the energy here? Why don't I get this in Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem's destroyed right now. And Jerusalem's in the process of being built up, but it's on the side of the Chitzoniut. Tzfat will also be built up on the Chitzoni level, but we also have the Shekhinah dwelling here, right now, presently. Now listen to the words of Rav Meir Eliyahu, and let's all take more appreciation for the city we live in. Ineni me'id ne'emana. I'm here testifying loyally. Ki ze kam eshtadluyot asiti kidei liskot ledur be'ir az lanu. Tzfat ha'atika, tikonen ve'tibonen. Rav Meir Eliyahu, who is all day long in Yerushalayim, marbitz Torah, says, I've tried a few times to make it to come to Tzfat, to sit in the city. Ki bechol pam shekaf ragli darcha besimtoteh umivoteh. Anytime my foot took a step inside of its alleys or inside of its different pathways, ubikar bebet alamin ha'atik, and specifically in the cemetery, the ancient cemetery, sham chilkat mechokhech safun, hu Rabbeinu Ari, that's where Rabbeinu Ari, who's the whole life of Rav Meir Eliyahu, is the Arizal, right? So that's his Rebbe, that's his, the whole Indian is the Ari. Says, my Rebbe is there. Shebechaburav v'chavarav v'kadoshim v'atorim z'chutam yegen alenu amen. All the tzaddikim that are buried here in Tzfat. They're all planted there around the Arizal in this holy land. Kimat parachti ba'avir, says, I nearly flew into the air, my soul nearly left my body. My soul was leaving to be able to cling to its creator. Shiyumugzam bilti nitfas, on a level of measures that I can't even, not even comprehensible, how much I want to leave my body when I come to Tzfat. Kach hirgashti yoter mikol mekomot shebikarti behem bechol yemei hevli. I felt that way more in Tzfat than any other place I've ever been in all of my life. And he was a rabbi in New York, a rebbe in Miami. He goes to Mexico a few times a year. He's been around the world, all in kiddush places, all doing holy things. Tzfat for him, can't take it. It's that powerful. Ve'amarti libi alo davaru. Rabbi Eliezer says, I talked to myself. I said, there's something here. There's something here. If I was so thirsty for Hashem in Tzfat, if when I go there I feel such levels of connection, for sure then that must be the place. That must be my place. That's where I have to set down my roots. And if I do that, I'll be flying. And Tzfat will also be built up. אשר על כן גמרתי בדעתי להצפין לדור שם עם בני משפחתי השם עליהם יחיו. Therefore I made up in my mind that I'm going to move to Tzfat with my family and we're going to live there. להפרוש ולהתבודד מבני עולם, to separate myself and to be secluded from the people of the world. להתעמק בלימודי, to go deeper in my learning. בדבקות בידיד נפשי, with immense deep relationship and connection to ידיד נפשי, השם הקדוש ברוך הוא, the beloved lover of my soul. Why is the Rebbe trying to say that? What is he saying about Tzfat? What was his goal to come to Tzfat? To separate from the world, to go into the Torah, to be one-on-one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you live in our city, you know we don't have bars here, we don't have things for you to do, there's no movie theater, there's nothing for you to do here, to have fun. Because that's not the point. None of us came here to have fun in this world, in this city. We're here on a mission, we have a goal to do. And it happens to be the best city to acquire that mission. It happens to be, right now, in our generation, this is the city with the highest ability for a person to connect. But, with all of the effort that he did try to do, I'm still standing on the river banks. Sfata Yeo, right? The Nile's river banks. Sfata Yeo. I'm still standing on the, and like we're learning in the classes we do in the Yanuka, what's Yeo? Yud O. Still standing on the lips, tzipia, anticipating what light could be coming. Ledaavon lev, lo istaya milta ve'aliti rak cheres ve'nishbar. Rabbi Eliyahu says, in the end, Hashem doesn't want me to be in Tzfat. I'm broken. I want to be there. But Hashem has plans for me. Ulam zot yadati ne'emena bli shum safek be'olam. But I know this without any doubt in the world. If I would merit to live in Tzfat, I would get levels and levels in sanctity that I would never have gotten in Yerushalayim. Again, a lot of Chachamim said that the earthquake in Tzfat happened in 1830s because the people in Tzfat made Tzfat more than Jerusalem. We're not coming to say that. This is a balance. Yerushalayim is above everything. Yerushalayim is the number one place in the world. Currently, Yerushalayim is in a tough place, and Tzfat has the ability to help you out more. There aren't distractions here. There aren't distractions here. There's no clubs. There's no churches. There's no mosques. There's none of that. There's none of that stuff. The air is pure. All you have is Tanaim. All you have is Kedoshim. All you have is Betei Midrash. No nightlife, none of that nonsense. It's a city that physically and spiritually is just saying, put your head down, let's learn. Let's daven, go to the forest, build a relationship with Hashem. Take the time to do that. But if you use Tzfat like every other city, so you're missing the whole entire point. It's not every other city. You have to behave differently here. It is a different plane, it's a different dimension. That's why a person can come here for a few hours and leave as if they just went to hours of therapy. Like they just had heart surgery. How could that ever be? Why doesn't that happen at the Kotel? And it does. Avada it does, right? There's people that go there and they have all the opening. But it happens at the Kotel, meaning I'm standing in front of the holiest place in the world for it to happen. Here it happens at the Makolet. It happens at the gas station. It happens taking out the trash. Those are all super holy things and Hashem is here in your face talking to you while you're doing it. That's the reality of Tzfat. So it's intense. And if a person's not willing to do that, to be minatzeach and to push and every day to set their standards that I'm going to do what I have to do in order to achieve that goal, so then they will be minutzach, they will be overcome. By what? And if you're in a place that doesn't have distractions, that doesn't have work, that doesn't have things to do, so then you're left with batala, you're left with boredom. And Chazal say outright, batala brings to zima, zima brings to shigon. Having too much time on your hands will lead you to sexual immorality. Sexual immorality will make you crazy. You'll lose your mind. It's very clear. And everybody knows. Every guy with a smartphone knows. In the nighttime, if you stay up too late, you start getting bored, you have time on your hands, and you're not doing the right thing, you will lose your mind very quickly. Very quickly. So we're in a city where we have to understand what's going on here. We have to take appreciation of what we have. We have a city that's beautiful, that's changing the world. The whole world wants to have a piece of it. Right? All the Kabbalah Center, there's Madonna wants to come buy a house here. Why such a klipa when I have a place in Tzfat? The Arizal says on the other side of the mountains, Oto Aish is buried. 2.1 billion Hasidim of his in the world.
He knows where it is.
The Arizal knew exactly where it is. We know still. It's the same fields. We still know where it is. There's a garbage dump there. There's a garbage dump there.
Who's buried there?
The guy with two billion people that believe that he's Messiah and God.
They want to know where he is.
Right? They would love to know, and that's why we don't tell them. Right? But some of them know, but they think he's in Yerushalayim. Let them go to Yerushalayim all they want in the sepulchre and all these other disgusting, dirty, gloomy places. Just to tell a story, I went once with a non-Jewish person. We went, they wanted to go see the sepulchre, their holy church. I was not interested in taking this person there. But I also didn't want to cause a problem. They're not Jewish. I was walking either way, it's on the way to the Kotel. I said, listen, I'm not moving from here, but if you want, it's down this alley. The person comes out. I said, well, how was it? It's very dark, very gloomy, very... And we go to the Kotel. Light, light, light! Even in the middle of the night, light! I said, you see the difference between our holy places and their holy places? Would you like to go connect to God in that dark room, disgusting room with images and demons and gargoyles and candles and wax? That's the reality of Yerushalayim right now. We pray with all of our heart that all of those places will be sunk into the ground, will disappear, will completely be flipped. Until that happens, don't be taken back when you see the 80, 90-year-olds from Jerusalem that they come here to a vacation on Tzfat for a few days and they say, wow, I feel like I'm 15 years old again. Why do you feel like you're 15 years old? Because this was what Yerushalayim was like. Pure, clean, not modern, not city, not rat race, not pritzut everywhere. Right? So Tzfat is a beautiful place, but we have to know what we're here for. And that's to take advantage of this beautiful city and to make the most out of our time here. Because not everybody gets to stay in Tzfat forever. The city, more times than not, helps you come for a few years and then you leave. Like we were learning, it's an Ir Miklat. It's a city of refuge. You're not meant to stay there. Come do what you need, get your healing, come back to Sitra Dachayim, the side of life, get away from Sitra Dachmota, the side of death, renew yourself and move on. If that's the goal, you have to take advantage of it while you're here. Shabbat Shalom.